Well, tonight we begin the Holy Triduum, the three holiest days of the entire year, so it is good that we are all here. I was just pausing for a moment in gratitude to God for these three, and that's what we do tonight, the three most wonderful gifts that Jesus gave us. He gave us the Eucharist, his continual presence among us. He gives us the priesthood, which makes that possible. And he gives us this commandment to love just as he did. And I was thinking about three saints, two almost saints and one already saint, who kind of lived these three things in such a beautiful way and treasured these three gifts, these most precious gifts of Jesus that he died to give us in a very, very profound and unique way. But even before that, I was sort of thinking of two local saints Well, one of them is Father Paul. Father Paul, this is his 71st Holy Thursday Mass as a priest. And if I did my math right, he is probably I would guess, has celebrated 650,000 Masses in his life as a priest, which means that he has probably confected 6.5 million hosts. He has probably heard 230,000 or so confessions, and Lord only knows how many sins per confession. And he has recited and prayed the divine office 130,000 times. And Father Paul fell the other day. You can see it on his face. And we were in the emergency room, and he said, "I am not missing Holy Thursday Mass." And he didn't. Here he is. Father Paul, we love you. Another almost saint, or maybe already saint, not canonized yet, Virginia Marshall. You might know her. She passed away yesterday. I gave her last rites a month and a half ago, and I thought she was going to pass that very day. And to my surprise, at 5 o'clock Mass last weekend, she sat right over here. And I thought, is she here? And she was, and I hugged her, I gave her a kiss, and we talked at the end. And then when I got a phone call yesterday that she was about to die, I thought, I just saw her on Saturday. And we were talking, and when I gave her last rites, and the family, somebody said, "I think she just wanted to go to Mass one more time on this side of heaven." And now she's with our Lord. Praise God. But the two almost saints and the saints that I want to reflect on, how they treasured the gift of the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the commandment to love as Jesus loves, are Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa is one of them, Blessed Carlo Acutis, and Saint Jean Vianney. Okay, Blessed Alexandrina. This woman was born in the 1905, and she grew up on a farm, and she worked really hard. She was extremely strong. She grew up on this farm working hard, and there was a church not too far away from her house. She loved to go spend time with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. At age 12, she had this almost life-threatening, I guess it was life-threatening, but it didn't take her life, an infection, And she looked back on her life later, and she said, that was the first sign that Jesus wanted me to be a victim soul, to offer my life as a living witness to the sufferings of Jesus. And sure enough, that happened, because at age 14, it was on Holy Saturday, and this was in Portugal, right around the same moment that the apparitions of Fatima were beginning, not far from her house. When she was only 14 years old, she was with her sister and a friend in the house, and three violent men broke in the house, and these are three teenage girls, and they tried to have their way with them and do horrific, horrific things. She jumped out of the window to protect her purity and to avoid the suffering of what was imminently going to happen, and that was 14 feet. And she landed on the concrete outside of her apartment building where she lived, and she was to be paralyzed for life. And the doctor said, "You're never going to be able to move again." But for 4 or 5 years after that incident, she, by some miracle, was able to still sort of get herself to Mass. The only place she could go was Mass. When she tried to go anywhere else, it couldn't work. But she roused herself and she could get to Mass. And she got to Mass. But when she was about 20 years old, she just couldn't do it anymore at all. And she was paralyzed for the last 30 years of her life. And she laid there in her bed, bedridden, for 30 years. The last 13 of these years, on Good Friday of 1942, she decided that she was going to eat nothing except the Eucharist. And the priest would bring her Eucharist. He would bring her Jesus every single day. And she subsisted on Jesus alone for 13 years. And the doctors were mad at her. They were baffled that it was even possible. They were hostile towards her. And so was her family, and so were so many people. But she felt that the Lord was calling her to do this. And she asked Jesus, she was baffled too. And Jesus, in the prayer with her, when she was praying with Jesus, he said, "You are living by the Eucharist alone because I want to prove to the whole world the power of the Eucharist and the power of my life in the Eucharist in souls." And so she became quite well known, even in the days before the internet and all these sorts of things. Jesus told her, "Keep me company in the Blessed Sacrament. I remain in the tabernacle night and day, waiting to give my love and grace to everybody who would visit me. But so few come to me. I am so abandoned, so lonely, so offended," said Jesus. "My tabernacles are left unvisited. Many do not believe in my existence, and they live like they don't believe that I even exist at all in the tabernacle." And so she fed her Eucharistic life, and she was a witness to so many people. She washed the feet of thousands of people in the course of her life, because thousands of people would come to her and visit her as she was bedridden for a word of consolation, a word of hope, a word of direction in life. And she especially, she said, "If I ever get better and I'm able to leave this bed, I'm going to become a missionary. And I'm going to spend my whole life washing feet. I'm going to spend my whole life serving the poorest of the poor." She treasured the visits of the poor more than everybody, except for one category of people, and that was the priest. Whenever a priest would come visit Alexandrina, she would kiss his hands. And she said, "I wish St. Teresa of Avila used to kiss the ground that the priest walked on." Because she said, "That's an altar Christus." She says, "That's a Jesus in that priest," because the priest is configured to Jesus in his ordination. And she would actually kiss the ground where the priest would walk. And Alexandrina said, "I wish I could do that, but I can't leave my bed. But the least I can do is kiss the hands that give me Jesus." And her whole life was about the Eucharist. Her whole life was about washing feet. Her whole life was loving the priesthood. Blessed Carlo Acutis is the second one. This is going to be, he's going to be canonized on April 27th of this year. Very exciting for the whole church. He is incorrupt. His body is incorrupt. He died in 2006. He hasn't decayed. He is in a glass thing in Assisi, wearing blue jeans and wearing Nikes. Blessed Carlo Acutis was born on May 3rd, 1991 in London. But in September of that same year, his family, they moved to Assisi. And he loved playing soccer. He loved playing video games. His PlayStation is going to be a second-class relic, which is just like crazy to think about. He loved computers. He built websites. And he built a website that chronicled all the Eucharistic miracles, like where at Mass, the host starts to bleed. These have happened all over the place, and they've been carefully studied. And Blessed Carlo Acutis, as a teenager, he studied them and built a website that still exists to this day that you could go to. And it has all of these Eucharistic miracles there. He developed leukemia when he was 15 years old and died. I think it happened so that his story could be well known, and so that he's going to be the patron saint of millennials, of youth. I think he the Lord allowed this to happen for the greater purpose of saving an entire generation and raising up an entire generation of teenagers who love Jesus radically, who don't want to settle for mediocre Christianity because there is no such thing. The book of Revelation, Jesus says, I will spit out you if you're lukewarm in your faith. And I think Blessed Carlo Acutis is already at work in his prayers and through his example in raising up a generation of young people who actually care, who actually care about the faith and the eternal salvation of their souls. We're seeing more and more people becoming Catholic, and they're young. In France, in London, in the UK, in the United States, we are seeing this year more crazy numbers. There's a new Pentecost happening. I think Blessed Carlo Acutis is largely responsible bringing this about. Blessed Carlo Acutis, his parents were wealthy, and like a lot of rich people, they were very mediocre in their faith. They weren't even Christers. They weren't even Christers. And they were, his mom was confirmed, and they got married in the church, but that was about the only time they went. But Carlo, their son, the church was nearby their house, and Carlo would drag his parents to Mass. And he had this inexplicable love for the Lord. There was a convent in this church nearby the house, and that's where he got his first Holy Communion. And he would go there. He would leave soccer practice early so that he could go to this church on the way home to daily Mass, where he would serve the Mass and where he would pray after the Mass as his young kid. He said, the Eucharist is my highway to heaven, because the Eucharist is Jesus, and Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Eucharist is my highway to heaven. He washed a lot of feet in his life because he was a very popular kid. He was an athlete. He was smart. He was good looking. He had the whole thing going for him. But he would always eat at school with the disabled or special needs kids. And his classmates, many of them, their parents were getting divorced, and he would always invite those kids over to his house. He would give his allowance money to the poor people that in Assisi just sit there on the side of the road. He would give every bit of his allowance to them. He loved serving Mass. He was what we call here a man of the altar. He died at only 15 years old, before he could go to the seminary, but he thought a lot about it, and he prayed a lot about it, and he loved the priest, because he said, my favorite things in life is not soccer and video games. My favorite things in life is the Eucharist and confession and adoration, and those are things that only the priest can give. The last one I want to talk about real quick is St. John Vianney. It's his 100th anniversary of canonization this year, and so it's a very special year for all of us priests. He was born in 1786 in this little tiny, he grew up on a farm in this little place in France, not far from Lyon. And he grew up there, in a very, very holy Catholic family. But just when he was 3 or 4 years old, the French Revolution happened. And, a lot of the priests, the government, they wanted to get rid of the Catholic Church or its ties to Rome. And so they threatened priests' lives. And they actually, if they killed a lot of them, 130 priests were killed at the guillotine that was operated by one former priest that John Vianney would have probably known in his life. He almost, so that his family, they belonged to like this underground Catholic church, because you couldn't belong to a public Catholic church. And in his house, in the farm that they lived on, they would house priests that were actually being faithful and loyal to the church. They would house seminarians. And he got to know these guys, and he loved them. They would become his heroes. He got his first Holy Communion in a barn on a farm next door with about 6 other kids in these little faithful Catholic families. He didn't have much of an education because of the French Revolution and because of the work that he did on the farm as a little boy. And so he wasn't smart enough to get Latin down or philosophy or theology. He almost didn't get ordained. But thankfully, there was this one priest who knew him, and he advocated for him. And finally, the bishop said, is he pious? Does he pray his daily rosary? And this priest said, absolutely, you cannot find a more pious seminarian out there. And the bishop said, fine, I will ordain him, and I'll let the Lord and Our Lady take care of the rest. And so we put this John Vianney for 41 of his 44 years as a priest in this tiny little podunk village in ours. It was a disastrous parish. There was no love of God there. It was a sad, sad place. His first weekend, there were only three people at Mass, and there were about five bars that worked all night long. Nobody seemed to care about God at all. He felt completely inequipped to deal with it and to convert these souls and save them. So what did he do? He opened an adoration chapel. He prayed. He fasted. He mortified himself. He slept on the floor. He was assaulted by the devil a lot of times at nighttime. And he would wake up and there would be mud on this image of Mary that he loved from the devil throwing it on her. And he would wipe it in tears. He would wipe Our Lady's face. He would wake up with bruises from having been beat up by the devil. He ate only potatoes for most of his priesthood, and he spent endless hours in front of the tabernacle and in the confessional. Whatever their needs were, he did them. He opened an orphanage for girls that were unprivileged or homeless, and it's called Providence, right next door to his parish. He took care of the poor always. He was always there for people. He said, my whole life is getting people to heaven. Listen to this. This is from his catechism on the priesthood. He's the patron saint of all priests. He said, if we did not have the priest, we would not have our Lord. Who placed him there in the tabernacle? It was the priest. Who was it that received your soul on its entrance into life and brought it into Jesus? The priest. Who nourishes your soul? Who gives it strength to make its pilgrimage through life? Through the Eucharist, the priest. Who will prepare your soul to appear before God by washing that soul for the last time in the blood of Jesus Christ and last rites? The priest. Always the priest. The priest is not a priest for himself. He does not give himself absolution. I wish I could. He does not administer the sacraments to himself. He is not for himself, he is for you. After God, the priest is everything. Leave a parish 20 years without a priest, they will end up worshiping beasts. Go to confession to the Blessed Virgin Mary or to an angel, will they absolve your sins? No. Will they give you the body and blood of our Lord in Holy Communion? No. You might have 200 angels there, but they cannot absolve a single sin. A priest, however simple he may be, can do it. He can say to you, go in peace, I pardon you, your sin is gone, and it is gone. Oh, how great is the priest! The priest will not understand the greatness of his office till he is in heaven. If he understood it on earth, he would die not of fear, but of love. The other benefits of God would be useless without the priest. They wouldn't even be here. What would be the use of a house full of gold if nobody had a key to open the door? But the priest has the key to the heavenly treasures. It is he who opens the door. It is he who showers the gifts of the good God and distributes the wealth of heaven on your soul. Oh, I love being a priest. It is the best life in the world, and I am so happy that Jesus Christ on the day of Holy Thursday loved the church enough to give us the priest. I can't imagine the church without the priest. I can't imagine my life without being a priest. I cannot imagine being anything else. Father Paul and I the other day were having dinner and we're talking about how much we can't even put into words how much we love being a priest. And so I want to just tell you all, young men and young men that you know in your families, in your lives, encourage them to be open to the priesthood, because priests don't just magically fall out of the sky. They are raised up in parishes like this one. They are raised up in families like the one that I came from and the one that Father Paul came from. They are an answer to a prayer. So let us pray for our seminarians. Let us pray for holy vocations in great number, that they might come from this parish, from St. Vincent, from our families, because without priests, we can't go to heaven, because they give us the sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.